So the Leafs coming off a win last night, and again back in action, I believe, in Detroit on Saturday night. Here's our buddy Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Ray?
Busy week. Things are, you know, finally got a couple of nice days out here, savoring the Packers' loss. It's been good.
Yeah, thank you for that. Why would you say that? Why are you against the Packers? Is that because of me, Rodgers?
Oh, just you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, just you.
Okay.
I want to. One of my bucket list things is I want to go to Lambeau. I think it looks awesome. Now I want to go in October, not January, but because I'm soft. But yeah, like I don't know. It was an unreal weekend, and knowing your angst that your kicker can't kick it out of their shadow just cracked me up.
Special teams, man. It just, you could feel it all year, and I didn't anticipate it would play into the game the way it did on Saturday night. But that, like, the moment in time when that punt gets blocked and it's up in the air, and you're like, there's no way the Packers are retrieving that. Like,
yeah.
Of course the Niners are going to get it, run it in, tie ball game, and 20 minutes real time later, they're packing their bags and the U-Hauls are leaving Lambeau. See you later.
What a weekend of sport, though, right? Like that's where, you know, we talked a million times about, I was thinking of it as I'm watching it, about, I know it's the playoffs and that's different, but like the one and out games are the best in any sport. Like when it's one and out, they just, it's, I don't know, they're just the best. And I'm like, I can't believe like the NHL is going to go and play in a junior rink in Arizona. Right?
Like, can you believe that?
I can't even, like, that's complete nonsense.
Is that possible? Like, how do you even allow that?
Like, you're going to have, like, just, I'm just picturing, like, a, you know, like a junior rink that's 5,000 seats. And, like, you got all the local people that are volunteering, that are doing the ushers. And, you know, like, it's not pro sport. It's not. No. And the NHL, they're going to cram that in there. And they're missing the revenue of a one-and-out playoff 2 out of 3. Like, how do they miss that?
Yeah.
Like to me, it's a freebie. If you watch these, like, look at the wild card games in baseball. Lots of times they're better than the playoffs because they're, man, you win and you, or as you say, the moving trucks are there and you're out of Lambeau.
Well, it sounds like it's Bettman that's against it. We had this conversation with one of our insiders last week. And I guess he wants to preserve the sanctity of the regular season. And that's his explanation, which
But just think, at one time there was 16 out of 21 teams were in the playoffs. What was the sanctity of the playoffs then?
No kidding.
If you had feet, you were in.
No.
Well, there was 5 teams that didn't. That's the crazy part.
Shocking.
When you came home to your buddies and said, yeah, we didn't make the playoffs, you know, deep down they were like, wow, do you guys suck.
You guys suck. And that's before TV packages, so they're probably like, I saw you play once all year. Yeah. You were brutal that night, but I didn't realize it was every night. Come on. Figure it out.
Yeah. Ray, before we get deeper into the hockey talk, so let's get this straight. Landon's going to the Olympics. Cammy's writing books. Like, what the hell are you up to?
Yeah, what are you doing in that house?
I took Ollie for a walk this morning. Like, I feel like such a slacker. Everybody's got all this cool stuff going on, and our garage is full of books right now. I can't even park the car in there.
Yeah, and, like, you got to deliver those yourself, or what's up with them all going to your house?
Yeah, I could have a table set up at the front of the driveway. Yeah. No, they get pushed to a distributor. I got to be honest with you. Cammy has done all of this. She's, you build your distributorship, and it's all self-published, and her nephew did the illustrations. It's really unbelievable. It's so great. I think people are going to love it because of just the story, but also what it looks like. And then a week ago, you know, kind of out of nowhere, we get a call from Landon. And as soon as I saw his face, like, I knew he was on the long list and then the shorter list, you know. And as soon as I saw his face, I'm like, did you get a good call today? And, oh, he was just beaming, right? Like,
yeah.
It's been a hell of a week. I mean, they're in Davos right now at training camp. We used to go to Noodles. Where'd we go? Albany?
Yes. Albany, New York. Just
What a pit. And we're in there for training. He's in Davos in this gorgeous rink that's built out of wood. And that's where they have the Spengler. And oh man, it's he's just so excited. It's been an amazing thing.
Yeah, that's such a cool obviously connection you're going to have, but I think we can all jump on that board now. We'll jump on that bandwagon. Not that we wouldn't follow the Canadian side anyway, but it's great to see that Landon will be a part of that. Like you mentioned, Cammy's got a book coming out. I just saw her video earlier today. And I'm curious, your little guys, they're not so little anymore, soccer players, is this Honduras match a priority tonight in the Ferraro House?
We'll be watching that. Yeah, we'll be watching for sure. I was trying to explain to them they may be dodging bags of stuff.
It can get ugly with the fans down there, big time.
Just think of this generation of young soccer players, right? Like, it's one thing to say, "Oh yeah, we're going to cheer for Canada," but when you go and watch Canada play, like, they're so fun and they're so young and aggressive, and you're like, "Man, the kids are just hooked into it," and it's almost like hockey, like. I don't know what soccer was like 30 years ago or 35 years ago, but we watch the players now, and they're doing things players then couldn't do. We watch the hockey kids, these young guys, they do stuff like that we just couldn't do. And so there's always something that, like, now that's just dragging them in to watch. And, like, we're watching tonight. I mean, last night, the Colorado game's 3-1. I'm like, man, I got some other stuff to do. I turn it off for a bit. I see on my phone 3-3 going into overtime. I'm like, how the hell did that happen?
Wow.
It's like it just – and then you're like, I want to draw back in. It's like I don't know. There's some really cool stuff right now, and a lot of it is just the skill that these players can play with.
And, Ray, everyone's harping on the Leafs that they can't hold the lead, but in today's game, man, it's like there's no lockdown mode anymore. You can't go near a guy. You can't hook. You can't get in front of him. And that's a big part of that's a big reason why that there's comebacks, and there's 4-1 in the third doesn't necessarily mean it's over. Like, you can't lock it down.
It doesn't feel the same, does it? Like, before, like, that team would get that extra goal for the lead, and you'd go, yeah, well, this is pretty much done. And right now, until it gets late in the game, it never really feels over. When I look at what a defense should be, I'm not talking about Morgan Riley or somebody like that, but for the most part, your guys now, if you're going to somewhat defend a lead, they've got to be big and mobile. They don't really have to be physical. They've got to take up space. They got to be able to skate, because just as you said, you can't push anybody out of the way anymore. You can't defend like you used to. We had Adam Foote on our podcast yesterday, and he told some unbelievable stories. But Adam Foote would have 5,000 penalty minutes a year in the game today. Yeah. Like, you just couldn't, you can't do it. So the Leafs are up, and of course they score one in their own net, and you give up a couple, and yet if you've got enough skill, you can outscore the one that you give up that you might not like. I was in Vancouver at the game the other night, and Koskinen gives up kind of I didn't like it. The wrist shot.
Patterson?
To Patterson. The reason I didn't like it is he was deep, and he had 1 foot outside.
He was off his angle.
I think that's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, when you're... anyway.
And so they're like, I'm like, oh, man, what are they... Well, you've got to find... They get a crappy one back. The kid plays unreal for Vancouver, but... They were in the game because they had the potential to score. And even a few years ago, you just couldn't score your way back in. And I don't know if it's COVID and lack of practice, or if it's like you say, oh, it's the rules. But there are comebacks. And I do miss some of the old game, but I think the comebacks are good for the game. I really do.
Well, it's an interesting line of thinking in terms of what the Leafs are going to do moving forward here, because every year within a month or two of the trade deadline, there's a position that gets circled, and that's what Dubas and company has to attack. Last year it was the left side, right? Got to find a way to solidify the left side. Someone that can play in the top six with Hyman turns out to be Nick Foligno. That conversation this year is someone to pair with Muzzin. You know, that's the topic in Toronto, and I know you're aware of that, Ray.
Yeah.
Because the idea is you move Hall back, or you figure out your third pairing, but you got to have someone to play with Muzzin. But with this line of thinking, do you think they'll be going into it looking for someone with pace, looking for a puck mover, looking for someone with offensive capabilities?
I think it's mobility and agility.
Okay.
Like I don't, the old, like, big, clunky, you know, oh, he's a defender. Like, the closest you're going to have to that is Muzzin. And you better hope that when he comes back, his game continues to trend in the right way. Because if he doesn't get fixed, like, the way that he can play or has played in the past, that's an enormous hole in their lineup. Like, he's almost invaluable because he's a bit unique to their team. But the guy beside him, whether, you know, Hall doesn't inspire the thought that he can handle that role on, you know, through a playoff run, that role, that guy, he's got to be, in my opinion, he's got to have size and he's got to be able to move. Like, you need some size to defend at some point. You have to be able to be in the way. I know that's a pretty lousy description, but remember when Babcock used to always talk about Ron Hainsey?
Yeah.
And he used to say he knows where to stand.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
He described like length, sound, like the reach and the length.
Right. Yeah. Right? He knew what to. Don't you need that? You need somebody that can skate, but somebody that can just defend by being in the right place. That's what. I mean, is Colorado going to be big enough on the blue line? I don't know, but they seem to have the puck a lot. Maybe they don't have to be, but they're going to have to score. Florida's going to have to score. And that's the way the game is kind of set up right now.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when I look at Tampa, the guy that I think is quite valuable to them on the back end is that Chernek. Because he's a mutant, but he can skate. And he's got hands, actually, like, and some confidence. But we always focus on, you know, Hedman, McDonough, like, because those are the name guys back there. But, you know, they're just not out there. Like, that's the, if you're looking at rosters going, you know, okay, Ray, who did you just describe that can play in a top four scenario? A lot of those teams, they covet them. Yeah, you know, unless you're, you know, you got to have to look at the Detroits or look at the teams that are going to be selling and go, is there somebody on there that has experience as well? You're not going after a 24-year-old that has those attributes, because Ron Hainsey knew where to stand because he played 800 to, you know, now he's north of 1,000 games in the league. He knew exactly through experience.
Well, just think of the guy who quietly plays in their top four, and I never think about him until I do a Tampa game and I write his name down, is Jan Ruda.
Right.
You're like, Jan Ruda? Well, he's 6'3". He can skate. He passes the puck, and he plays with Hedman, so Hedman can kind of meander all over the place. Like, it's a name that nobody is going to jump up and down for, but that type of player is I could see that being a target. You're not getting him, but it might be a target for somebody that you could, I think, on the blue line, like, to improve your mobility and size on the blue line. That third pair, that looks, man, I can't picture them in a playoff series in a long run.
No, me
neither.
Like,
the two of them together. Like, it looks like they're going to get chewed up at some point.
Yeah, I think Liljegren and Sandin together, they're comfortable with when they have time, when they have ice, you know, they can make smart plays, but it shrinks in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be battles in front, battles in the corner, the games, you know, the ice will get cut in half. I cannot picture a scenario where they're a pair... Like, in the playoffs, unless you're dealing with multiple injuries.
I
can't see it.
I don't want to start rumors, but, like, I haven't...
Start one, Noodles.
No, because...
Start it up.
No, but,
come
like,
on.
Mark Giordano. Like, I don't know if you fit him into your cap structure, if, you know, at 38, if the legs are still there, but, like, that type of... You know, when Giordano is at the top of his game, or at least, you know, contributing, he's mean, he's physical, he's got a good shot from the point, he's obviously a tremendous leader, like... Again, I don't know where his game is at. I've watched Seattle play a lot, but there's times where I'm thinking, okay, looking his age, and other nights I'm like, doesn't look his age, looks pretty good. I don't know
but,
if he'd want
but just
that.
Think if you're on a better team, you don't need to do as much.
Right.
You know, like, in that, you know, thinking of Giordano in Toronto, he's got to be able to retrieve the puck. He makes a really good pass, right?
Right.
Like, he makes that good first pass. He doesn't have to, you know, go all over the place and do three people's jobs, which you always try to do when you're an expansion team, right?
Right.
You're always trying to do somebody else's job because, holy crap, lots of nights you just get run over. So you're looking at bring in an older guy who's not what he was, because who is, and asking him to play 19 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Why can't he do that? Of course he can.
Yeah,
you're not looking for a six-year deal.
I just don't, like I say, I'm not trying to start a rumor. I'm just, you have to look
it's
around the league.
It's a natural connection, though.
But that's,
yeah.
You got to look around the league for guys like that who are cagey, who you know, are confident in their ability, who can still play in maybe a more limited role, but play a certain style.
And without term, too, right?
Exactly.
Like that's a big part of where the Leafs are at. They're not looking...
Right.
For some, not, you know, that we're being realistic about. You're not going to find someone that's coming in at 1.5 for the next 3 years or something like that. Like, it's
now,
probably.
You know, I read they'd love to have players with term, but maybe that doesn't work. And, like, right. Maybe it doesn't fit. And then you get in there and you're like, okay, this is the best we can do. There feels some immediacy this year.
Sure.
Right? Like, they've played by far way more good games than games that make you shake your head.
Yep.
Like they, and you're like I could see them, like I could see them being a way more difficult team, a way more patient or determined team. Yet you look at the East and you're like, oh my God, it's a slugfest.
Well, we were saying this last hour, Ray. Like unless they win the division, which is still possible, then you could play the Rangers or Pittsburgh. But as I currently see it, and again, half the season left, but I think Carolina's going to win the Metro. I think they're the best team. They got games in hand. I think they end up winning. I don't think the Leafs are going to win their division. So with that in mind, you're looking at likely playing either Tampa, Florida, or Carolina in the first round. That's likely who you're
playing.
So
when you say, oh, you know, the season can only be a first round win or it's a failure, you're like, yeah, but there's going to be some really good teams that chew that sandwich.
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You're not, look at the West. I mean, if you get in, literally, if you get in and you avoid those top two seeds, you can advance quite a distance. And
well,
and you might even, I mean, who knows what Vegas is going to be or whatever, but those, you know, Vegas and Colorado, they, you know, they look like they're better than everybody else to me, but everyone else, why can't you win around? And it's a way easier road.
Well,
in the West, anyway.
The news is coming down here. It's been trending towards this route for a good week to 10 days, that Evander Kane and the Oilers they got a deal in place. It doesn't sound like he's going to be suspended by the league, which means maybe he's ready to jump on the train and play this weekend. How much of that move, Kane signing in Edmonton, do you think is about stabilizing the regular season, and how much of it do you think is about what you just said? If you get in and he's not a disturbance, or he finds his game and he's fine, he's a quote-unquote playoff-type player and can help them win a round or two?
Well, I think it's critical to them to make the playoffs. Like, sure, you get in and it can be open, but I watched them the other night in Vancouver, and I mean, they've gone through hell here for about 15 or 16 games, and, you know, they beat Calgary. I think they had 50 shots the other night. That kid in goal, I think
Spencer
he had like
Martin.
30. Spencer Martin, did he? He had like 32 shots from the slot.
Yeah, it was
they're like that's like batting practice, and they looked good, and I'm like, man, if you add Hyman to this team again when he comes back, and if they were able to sign Kane, all of a sudden you think of Kane, McDavid, Puljujarvi, Hyman, Draisaitl, Yamamoto,
Nugent Hopkins,
R&H in the middle with Fogel and, you know,
Cassian.
Dylan Holloway's not that far away. You got McLeod. All of a sudden you go, geez, that could be pretty good. Well, still got to fix the goalie. But you're like that Kane can be a really big part for them. And I do think, like, for all the crap that's followed him around, and there's a reason it follows him around, if you don't get the best behaved 35 games of Evander Kane, you're never going to get it. Like he's either a grade A citizen or he's out of the league.
Yeah.
Sure seems that way. Like based on what San Jose just said, he's gone. Like we're not doing this anymore.
And the players said they don't want him back in the locker room. Ray,
that's
you think
what I
that
mean.
After...
Like, doesn't that speak more than anything?
Well,
like,
no, I'm not getting into it. But do you think somebody next year gives him a multi-year deal?
Well, okay, well, what happens if he gets 18 goals in 35 games?
That's, I mean, that's, I don't think anybody has ever questioned how really good of a player he is.
Oh, yeah. Noodles, he's 6'3", he's tough as hell, and he can score 30 goals. Who doesn't like that?
I love that. There's never been a question, because he is, in today's game, you know, a unique player. Because he can fight, he can skate, he can score. He, you know, he's got a combination of a skill set that is quite unique. But that hasn't been what you said, Ray, has trailed him around. It's kind of been the other stuff. So if he can settle into a dynamic in Edmonton and just focus on hockey, maybe he gives them the best 35 games of his career.
And they don't need 90 games from him. They don't need 5 years from him. Right. They're trying to get through this year. That's the deal. It's 1 year, and it's for whatever it is. Did you guys see anything, or is anything announced?
2.1 prorated or something?
Yeah, there's like a signing bonus, and it sounds as if, because he's jumping in halfway, he's going to make around $1 million. So the cap hit will be around 2.1, give or take. And I think there's a full no move. Like, he's committed. He's going to be in Edmonton. They gave that.
I'll say he's got a full no move.
Yeah, no kidding. Can you imagine if Edmonton in a week's like, we need to get rid of this guy? Insider trading, Evander Kane's available. That's probably not going to go over well, I would think. But also, yeah, you're right. I mean, put everything else aside. If he steps in that room and he sees his name beside McDavid or Draisaitl, that's a pretty good opportunity to tuck in some goals and look like a pretty good player, you know. So, but that's going to be available to him. And the Oilers need it. The Oilers need help. You know, that's why they're doing this. It's clearly based on hockey and what they think he can bring on the ice.
Well, and I would suspect that however this road led to them making an agreement, there's been enough digging around to find out whether you really believe this can happen. You talk to other players, you talk to, you know, if you're the management, you talk to other players, other teams, the league, whatever the league's done in their investigation. You know, you try and dig up whatever you can to find out, can we make this work for 35 games? And then you go, gulp, I hope so, and then you try it. That's got to be where they're at.
I think that's precisely what they're thinking. And we will find out probably as early as this weekend. So we'll see.
Who's your quarterback next year, Hayes?
That's a great – it better be – I honestly, I can't even give you an answer with a straight face. I want to say Jordan Love and believe in Jordan Love, but I actually witnessed him play earlier this season. Limited faith in the Jordan Love era. So I'm concerned. I think he might come back, though, Rodgers. We had Chris Long on yesterday, and he basically said, I don't know if he's courageous of taking on, you know, a different market, checking on whether or not the grass is greener on the other side. It's not always better, you know, when you leave. So maybe it'll be Rodgers. That'll be the dramatic story of the offseason, though. You're banking.
Well, I'll tell you, you were really firm. Thanks for clearing that up for me.
Yeah, there it is. That's why I have this job, because I'm so committed to opinions. I have no idea what's going to happen. But I'll be a Packer fan. I'm not like, oh, I'm not going to jump on the Bengals bandwagon or the Bucks.
Bengals
like that.
All the way, baby. Hey, hashtag rule the jungle.
You guys know, I know Noodles does for sure, our RoboWop Brownie. He is a longtime Bengals fan. Really? Losing his mind. He can't function at the best of times, but he can't even function right now. He's so excited.
Good for him. They have been a lost cause for a long time. I mean, Andy Dalton got them in the playoffs a lot, but there was never going to be an AFC championship game.
No.
It wasn't going to happen. And it's only Mahomes and the Chiefs waiting for you, so good luck
with
that.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it should be an easy, just a walk in the park up at Arrowhead. All right, buddy, enjoy it. We'll do it again soon, I hope, and we always love having you on.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. I hope everybody's good, and let's do it again quick.
You got it. There he is, our buddy Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, Ray is not alone. I get asked, you know, from time to time, what do you think is going to happen, and how can you get a read on Aaron Rodgers right now? Like, I don't have a read on what he's going to do and if he's going to come back. And
I have one prediction. It's going to be noisy. Like, whatever he's going to do right now is going to draw a lot of attention and be somewhat controversial.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what
and
he's been doing.
You think that
recently.
Guy has a – the one thing I don't agree with Chris saying, he doesn't know if he has the stones to go to a different market. I think that's a complete Kroc. That's not that, that. You think a guy would lie to people about his vaccination status, is afraid to go play football somewhere else? I'm not buying that one.
Well, we'll see. The proof will be in the pudding in the next month or two. He's got to make a decision pretty quickly. You know, the you turn the page on the season, they get to free agency pretty quickly. Off-season bonuses and all that kind of stuff come into play. Yeah. What the Packers are going to do with his contract, the Devontae Adams contract. There's a lot of play up there in Green Bay. And trying to get a read on him right now is difficult. I'm not convinced if he leaves. Jordan loves the guy anyway. They might go out there and realize maybe they get in on Deshaun Watson.
Right.
I don't see it in that market. I don't picture that being a fit. But maybe, you know, maybe they get in on someone else that could be available throughout the league. They're going to need a quarterback. You got to play. So thanks again to Ray for joining us.